Good morning, everyone. This is Elaine LaRoche, and you're listening to Out and About with Elaine. And in studio, that is George Lennon, other known as Georgie Porgy, is here in studio with me today, as well as Tony Viveras. We'll be talking a little bit about what's going on with the Capron concert series. So I want to wish both of you, thank you very much, first of all, for coming in so early. And second of all, welcome to Out and About with Elaine. So, good morning.
Welcome.
Good morning.
Well, thank you.
Nice to see you.
I need so much coffee, it isn't funny.
I mean, it's 7 in the morning. I'm surprised that George is here.
I'm more surprised than you are, Tony.
Usually musicians do not get up when the cows get up, you know?
No, that's really true. But
so, you must have gotten up around 3 this morning from Bristol. You must have gotten up around 3 this morning. Coming all the way from Bristol to get up here for a 7 o'clock morning show.
No. Actually, I got up. My alarm was 5 o'clock, but I made sure that I shaved the night before.
Oh, yeah.
Before I went to bed.
Yeah, I apologize.
That's a lot of work right there, just procrastinating. And, oh, do I feel like doing this right now? But anyways, I'm good.
Here at 7 in the morning, George, Elaine has a huge budget, so I'm sure that you're going to be heavily compensated.
Oh, yes, I know. I can't wait for that coffee.
The car service is waiting for him outside, yes. But anyway, George, I'd like to give our listeners a little overview of your stellar career, and I feel really honored that you're here on my show, Out and About with Elaine. I love music, and I met you at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Rhode Island recently, and then just doing the history of you, you've had so many wonderful experiences in the music business, but Tony and I had talked about you before, and it seemed like you were a high school student here and actually set a precedent. Would you like to just go into that a little bit before we get into your career?
Well, I was playing music from an early age, and I did jazz. And then when the Beatles came out, mm-hmm. I changed tact, and I started playing those songs. So I incorporated that into my act, which was not much of an act, but it was an act. We used to play in clubs, mostly in Pawtucket and Providence. What was the question?
When you were in school as a student.
Oh, yeah,
in 1964, right, well, September 11th, somebody, the principal called you in the office, and...
Well, at the... So my hair was long, and it wasn't really very long, but it was kind of like a Beatle cut, because, you know, that's what we were doing. We were doing, you know, covers of other people's songs. Mm-hmm. And I got to be fond of it, and actually, the year before I was in a class play where my hair was a little bit long and actually worked pretty good. I don't know, I can't remember the sequence of it. What you got to remember is that my only big regret in life was that I wasn't there when it was happening. Do you know what I mean by that?
Mm.
No? Well, that's my big regret.
I see.
See, when you're actually going through it, you don't really through it with your right mind.
Right.
Because you're young and you just kind of go into things.
Things.
Yeah, you don't get the public's perspective.
Right. It takes a long time to see who you were back then.
Yep, exactly.
If you even could figure out what you are now.
No, that's true. That's true. But to get back to that whole
thing. Yes, I was called. When I was in my last year of school, it was about 3 days into the school year, and on the intercom, it asked George Leonard to go see the principal's office. So I went there, and he started talking about the hair thing and that I had to have it cut and this and that, and... And I was I just didn't really understand where he was coming from at all. And also, too, I associated with a lot of, you know, adults throughout my whole life because I started working when I was 11 or 12.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. So I connected with old people that were older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had never been talked to like that before by an adult. But I understand now what it was. But anyways, that led to me being thrown out of school, or asked to leave, I should say.
Right.
But in all fairness to the situation, I mean, the principal that made this decision, Mr. Joyce, a very good principal, I think it was just a conflict at that time, because there was the Vietnam War, there were all these other things. And before that, his career was, I believe, as the principal of a young military academy. I believe that that's what I had read several times. So it was important to obey orders, so to speak.
Oh, I see.
And right. I think that was the conflict, and I think that's the story of the 60s right there anyways.
Oh, sure.
Was the conflict of, well, same conflict we got now, you know, corporate thing and what we consider our country.
Right.
Yeah.
But you set a precedent, which was wonderful.
Yeah, and
for freedom of expression.
I must add, because I was a student at Attleboro High,
mm-hmm.
and when George came to school, George was a good student, never in trouble.
Right.
And what I remember, George showed up on that day of school, along with his head of hair, in a suit, well-dressed and, you know, but it was just a thing of the times, if I remember George. And the school committee stood back by Joe Joyce. And correct me if I'm wrong, but by the time that things went through the courts and everything, everybody had long hair.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even the judge had long hair. And the sea of public opinion had changed because a lot of them stood behind Joe Joyce with the long hair issue. But by the time things ended, the Beatles had their impact on the music and the way that people dressed. And everybody had long hair then.
Right, right.
Yeah, so, I
think it's the to go to the deepest level, I think people are just afraid.
Yeah.
I think people are afraid all the time anyways.
Mm.
And it's easy to frighten people. So I think any kind of change is frightening for people.
Mm, interesting. But what I want to get
frightening
some,
for me, I know.
I bet it was. So tell me a little bit about Georgie
Porgy
and your band, and how did it all get started? Because you had your sisters, you were in it. You played in some of the a lot of the clubs in Rhode Island, but who gave you the name of Georgie Porgy? That is a very interesting story.
That's the woman that owned the Tete a Tete on Thayer Street in Providence. And she opened up a coffee house. It was already operating when I went there. And I think I was like 12 or 13, I can't remember. But it was a great little place. I mean, it was like, you know, when you think of the beat era, the late 50s, and I mean, she was it. And she was a former stripper, or probably burlesque or whatever, but she was, you know, she was older at that point, but she was still beautiful. And she used to sing the blues, so I used to back her up and would do the things, and she would call me Georgie Porgy.
And that's how it's started.
Yeah, yeah, it was a nice little memory, and if she wasn't that nice a person, I probably would have never hung on to the name, because I never really liked the name. Who's this, Georgie Porgy? Oh, okay, I'll stop.
I'm curious, George. I know that Judy and Carol, your sisters, played in the band with you.
Yes, they did.
And how did they get the name Crybabies? Was that something of sibling rivalry at the house? Or?
Well, as we were talking with Mike, all he can remember is of Georgie Porgy is Georgie Porgy putting him by, kissed the girls, and made him cry. So Georgie Porgy put him by, kissed the girls, and made him cry.
Oh,
as a matter of fact, our little theme song was Georgie Porgy putting him by, kissed the girls, and made him cry. Then they go, boo-hoo, you got me crying for you. And that's in his Crybabies.
Oh, wow.
I didn't make the connection. I just assumed that you fought with your sisters and you called them the Crybabies.
No, my sisters are very supportive, always.
Yeah.
From day one, yeah. Of course, they were my sisters, so, you know, I mean, what do you do with that? You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, when we got abducted, I call it, into the Hall of Fame, was Georgie Porgy and the Crybabies.
Right.
It wasn't just me, it was them too. Mm-hmm. And also Al Manfredi and Ricky Lammy, who were parts of the band at certain times.
Mm-hmm.
So after 50 years of not actually playing this as Georgie Porgy and the Crybabies, we started we had to do a little, well, we didn't have to, but I thought it'd be kind of fun to do a show at the abduction.
Yeah, that's great. Have you thought about maybe getting back into
Stop
doing
it.
Something?
Are you kidding me? No, but it's turned out to be a very nice little family therapy, so we do it every week.
You do?
Yeah, and the guy that abducted us, part of that committee, he let us borrow his drums so Carol could practice.
Oh.
So we practiced for a whole month, probably three days a week, and they just shaped up so good. But the therapy was watching my shoulders go down like it's a brother-sister thing. I don't know.
I hear you. Brothers and sisters are like that. We do have to take a quick break,
sure.
And we invite our callers to call us at 508-222-1320. I have in studio George Lennon and Tony Viveras here today. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Attleboro Arts Museum presents the 19th annual High Art Exhibit, an exhibit of art from Massachusetts high school artists. The exhibit will be displayed from May 20th to June 4th at the Attleboro Arts Museum at 86 Park Street in Attleboro. Works from 120 student artists from 11 local high schools will be displayed. The theme of this year's exhibit is Text Art, Words as Images. The opening awards reception will take place on May 21st from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Arts Museum. This event is free and open to the public.
I don't believe it. My savings are gone.
Okay, think. Where'd you have them last?
I was home, then I spent them on that vacation and this tiny suit of armor. Now they're gone.
Weird. Weird? Not really. Not saving now means no money later. Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Oh, I broke his little gauntlet.
Oh, no.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the
It's Accountant. Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Attleboro Council on Human Rights will host a community response to bullying, Part 2, titled Bullying and Cyberbullying, at the Attleboro Public Library located on North Main Street. Deputy Linda Pacheco of the Bristol County Sheriff's Department will present this informative program on Saturday, May 30th from 1 to 3 p.m. For more information, call 508-222-0157.
What is one of the deadliest cancers with low survival rates? The answer is esophageal cancer. And that is why it's so important to participate in the SALGI Esophageal Cancer Research Walk on Saturday, June 20th at 9 a.m. at Warwick City Park. Tickets are only $20 in advance, and you can register as an individual or as a team. My family is walking in memory of my nephew, Bob LaRoche, who succumbed to this disease last year. I hope you can join me and my family by calling the SALGI Foundation at 401-615-5869 and walk with us on June 20th. Together, we can make a difference. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. George was in high school, he grew his hair to beetle length, and they actually threw him out of school. So he sued the school department, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court. And it's because of him the kids today get to wear their hair the way they do. But he's much more than that. He's a great musician. He's one of our finest musical treasures. He started a band with his sisters, the Crybabies, and he took them down to New York City where they were a huge hit on the discotheque scene. They wound up recording for Jubilee Records, and those records are now collected all over the world and are considered some of the finest dance records ever made.
Okay, we are back in studio with George Lennon and Tony Vivera. Tony V, you have a question.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to ask George while we're talking about the high school thing and before we moved on. George, your father was very supportive of you during this.
My family's always been supportive of me, every one of them, yeah.
Okay. And you know, I knew his dad because his dad was either one of the owners or the owner of the auto show in Seekonk, Mass on Route 6.
Right, that was him and his brother, Ted.
Okay, and they sold Volvos, but they also sold a great line of British cars. And I've always had a love of British cars, and I bought my 66 Austin Healey Mark III 3000 there. And that was one of the best British cars ever made. And I think that was the next to the last year before Austin Healey ended its production.
But, wow.
The auto show had beautiful cars, and it was just British cars were very popular back then too, George.
Well, it's funny.
Did you drive one?
We had access to everything.
Oh.
Guys, to drive around in a, because, you know, we had a dealer plate, you know, so. So one weekend it was a Sunbeam Tiger, next weekend it was an MGA, next weekend was a Austin Healey. They were gorgeous cars. Yeah. They were like twice as much money as everybody, all the other ones, yeah.
And I'll tell you, they sold every British car, Hillman, everything. And the Sunbeam Tiger, that was such a beautiful car because that used to be called the Sunbeam Alpine.
That's right, and then they put the 8.
Then they put the 260 V8 Ford engine in it. I think it was Carroll Shelby that put it in. And the first 500 cars they brought out, they realized afterwards, if you wanted to change the spark plugs, you couldn't do the back spark plug, so they had to remodify the engine cabin.
Don't eat too much.
That was a great car. But I mean, yeah, I remember the auto show, and that was the place to go if you wanted to purchase British cars.
To mention mentions Austin Healey, which is my only story as a salesman. I only sold one car in my career. I think I was 15 or 16.
Wow, did you really?
Well, we were always, you know, trying something. So there were two Austin Healeys on the lot, and we had this little book that had all the listings on the things. Well, there was a $900 one and I think a $1,600 one. And I had sold the $900 one by mistake at the $1,600 price.
Wow.
So I'm looking through the thing, and they're setting up the deal, you know, the other guys there, because I didn't know how to close a deal or anything. So I'm standing there, and I'm looking at the chart, and I realize that I sold the wrong one. Uh-oh. But this guy's already decided to buy the car. He's, you know, so they're writing it up. So I've got to come out with a book, and I say, you know, I think I made it. And the other salesman kicks me in the leg.
Tells you to shut up.
Oh, my God.
Anyways.
You know what I paid for my Healey down there, George? I paid $1,500.
I would never tell that story if we were still in business, I don't think.
I paid $1,500. So could have that been the $900 Healey I paid for?
What year?
It was a 66.
When did you buy it?
Oh, God, probably in 67.
Wow, it depreciated that much, huh? All right, Elaine.
All right, let's get back, guys. Come on, this is not car talk right now, but I wanted to get back into the music business because my show's only 1 hour, not two now,
right.
I've got to get going and doing this. But reading your bio, there were numerous articles online, and it was so hard for me to just disseminate all this information in a short amount of time. But the one thing came through, the thread, the tapestry of your career was cooperation and collaboration. And just you've met so many extraordinary people that seemed to, like, one interesting story that most people wouldn't even know about is, like, when you were in Miami, and you had network with the Atlantic record producer Tom Dowell, is it? And they were recording Eric Clapton's song Layla, but they allowed you to come in the studio to record during the lunch hour, and that's how dedicated you were. Like, you were determined to do your recordings, and they allowed you to come in the studio as long as you didn't touch the board, they said.
Yeah, but I didn't even know that Eric Clapton was recording there.
Isn't that something?
I didn't know anything. I told you, I wasn't present when I was around. All I did is I wanted to keep doing things.
Right. And
so I kept doing things, but I didn't know what anybody else was doing at the time.
But that's so creative.
Really, Eric Clapton was recording Layla at that time?
He was.
Boy. Yep.
And he let, and actually
see,
Tom
that's
let
what
you
I
in.
Call a Forrest Gump moment. Because Forrest Gump went through his whole life with these things, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't know what was going on or anything. It just happened to be in the middle of something.
And you were.
But I think a lot of us have that kind of life, you know? Right, Tony? I
mean, yeah.
Throughout your life, you've bumped into all these crazy things that just happened to be historic at the time. But you would never think of it or know it at that time, right?
No. Later on in life,
point.
You learn it.
That's mm-hmm. a good point.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Well, anyway, later on in life, yeah, that's what I meant when I say when you're going through it, you don't really know you're doing it.
Until you look back and say, wow, that really was a great moment.
And then just tons of, and forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Forgive yourself, forgive yourself, forgive yourself.
That's true. Oh, my God. The music business has changed a great deal. I think that you can agree that it has just gone through so many changes through the decades. What is your reflection when you look back on what you have done and what the music business is today?
None of it makes any sense at all. I mean, I think as the, you know, like we were talking about, the country less become less of a company, is more of a corporation. I mean, that's always been a little bit of that, even in the 50s and 60s. But certainly, even in the time of the 60s, it was very hard to get a local record played. Very hard. It's always been sewn up by, you know, like the whole world is. Like, you know, there's a few people at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And they pretty much control everything. So when I see any kind of community activity like this, or like the Hall of Fame thing, or anything that brings it local, it's our only hope. Yeah, because there's nothing out there.
Right. Yeah, you're right. It's all about the quick fix, though. And the music isn't the same. It's not as pure as it was, I think.
Well, it's funny. I was... On the way up, I was listening to the station, you know, and I think they played the slow poke, the slow poke, and I'm thinking, wow, this is the same music I heard in Attleboro when I was growing up, in the same station, and I'm going, wow, this is like Groundhog Day today, but there's the charm to it, you know, and it's local.
Right.
You know, it's what's my anaconda, she got a big bop, a wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. I got the magic stick. That's my medley of pop tunes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what people are loving. It's what they're buying.
They are, yeah.
But I don't know how much if people are loving it and buying it, or if they're just being bullied, you know?
Hmm.
Because I haven't owned a television for 30 years, and it was just 2 days ago, and I'm thinking about it, I'm meditating on it. Why don't I have a TV? And first of all, I thought it's because I believed everything it said. But the second thing was, I feel like I'm being bullied all the time.
Hmm. Yeah.
How fun is this, huh?
Well, this is fun because this is live, and I think that it really keeps it keeps it going and it keeps you on your toes. And I think that WARA is back now in the community and we're trying to build an audience again. And
yes.
To have you here, it's exciting because, you know,
well,
we need more.
Well, I'm excited to be a part of it because it's, yeah, this is the only place where anything counts.
Right. And we do have a lot of listeners, believe it or not, we do. And I know that several people have called me after the show last week and they said, you changed your hours? And I said, yeah, we're on at 7 o'clock. So I said, well, you got to call in. So folks out there, we're going to take a quick break in just a minute, but our number here is 508-222-1320. We are fully awake and fully engaged in the conversation. In studio here, I have George Leonard and Tony Viveras. And when we come back, our meteorologist, Jim Corbin, will give us a weather forecast. And hopefully it will be sunny and bright this weekend. And I pray that we have 80-degree weather next week because this past week it felt like spring instead of coming into summer. So you're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we'll be right back after these messages.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? One in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? One in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? One in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? One in 68. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Women now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
Harvard Medical School has now opened its doors to new female applicants.
The first woman is now in space.
The majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red
come
for Women.
Come celebrate the power of arts in the community at the Barrington Art Festival, to be held where else but in the scenic town of Barrington on June 14th. Artists who live and or work in the East Bay area will be showcased at the historic Town Hall property located on County Road. For more information about this event, feel free to call 401-247-1900, extension 381, or visit the web at artfestival@barrington.ri.gov. You're listening to Georgie Porgy, and in studio you have George Lennon. And if you would like to jump on the line and talk to him, please call us at 508-222-1320 as we discuss the music business of a wonderful, wonderful musician and creative writer, and had some extraordinary career and still going strong. And George was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame recently, and we congratulate you for that wonderful accomplishment with you and your sisters and your band members. Have you ever thought about maybe going back in the studio with them or putting together the best of Georgie Porgy and the Crybabies and doing the best of it? Seems that those sell very, very well, and I can see folks would absolutely want to be interested in purchasing. Yeah.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Come on, George.
Nobody buys these things. Nobody buys records. No, we're just doing it. It's like a therapy thing now at this point. Yeah.
Do you get together and do performances still? Once in a while or well, for fundraising events? Or?
We did two. We're open for able and available. As long as it's not too much trouble.
Oh, my God. You've done everything. You started in Pawtucket, and you went to New York, and, you know, Thayer Street welcomed you underage, and that was phenomenal. That's a phenomenal story about playing the jazz scene in the 50s and 60s. That is really great. I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and I remember like the Beatles and the they called the British Invasion and all of those, from Jerry and the Pacemakers to the Beatles, of course, and what followed that as well. But reading your history, it's just really been a fascinating career and still going on. And you've done this thing called Elvis Sinatra. Can you explain what Elvis Sinatra, what came of that, and how did you come with that name? Did you perform Elvis and Sinatra tunes? Is that where it came from, or?
No. The idea was I wanted to do all my own songs.
Mm-hmm.
And so my own songs, I sort of always thought of as a collision between rock and roll and the kind of stuff that Sinatra did.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the idea, was collision, but of course it was the worst name in the world because everybody said, "Oh, do some Elvis, do some Sinatra now, do some Elvis." But it was the idea, the concept,
mm-hmm.
And it was terrific. I did it in New York City for 5 years in a tiny little club, and it basically was most of the guys that I knew from the Providence area. A lot of the guys, all great players. But, you know, you would never be able to get them to get on a bus to go to New York to play, and you'd have to give them a lot of money and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I figured it would kind of be fun to record them playing the tracks. So Steve Badessa, great engineer, he recorded everything on 24 tracks, mixed it so it sounded live. We filmed with a steady camera, so I would just film the guys in the band, the women in the band, and I would go around with a steady camera, you put up hands up. So then I would project the cipher, I edited it and put in some little funny things. And then I would project it on a screen that would be next to me. So it's interacting constantly with the screen. But they were also all my friends playing, and they were all the great players. Yeah.
Wow. That's great. I'm going to have to hold you for 1 second, sure, because Jim Corbin is on the line and giving us a weather forecast.
I can't wait.
Me too. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
All right, Elaine. I've enjoyed the conversation this morning.
Fascinating guest.
Yes.
Good morning.
By the way, sir, how old are you? You have a voice that sounds like you're about 30 years old. I mean that in all. I think it's great because I know you're not 30, but just in hearing you, you sound like I've heard you before over the years, and you sound like you're like a young kid almost, and I think it's great.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much.
I mean that seriously, in a good way. I'm not trying to sound negative about it.
Oh, I must be young at heart, maybe.
Well, anyway, it's great, and I've enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you.
I'll be very quick with the forecast and get back to your discussions. I've been looking at the latest observations, and we do have actually a little bit of rain early this morning in parts of Massachusetts and even in the parts of Rhode Island this morning, but very light sprinkles. Temperatures are right now right around 60 degrees. We're going to reach around 70 this afternoon with increasing sunshine. So the sun will come out this afternoon, but we're going to have to probably wait until very late this morning to see anything significant in terms of sunshine. Then tonight we'll have mostly clear skies, falling down into the 40s, a little on the cool side. We're going to continue cool for at least another couple of days. Nice day tomorrow, sunshine, high temperatures in the low 70s. And right now it looks like our next chance of any rain showers would be Monday afternoon into Monday night, with temperatures a little more humid as well in the low 70s. A few showers on Tuesday, and then finally Elaine, you were asking, are we going to get into the 80s? Well, I think Tuesday afternoon we have a shot at 80 degrees, and it looks like it's going to be 80 or higher most of the rest of next week.
Wow. At least we get our wish for Tuesday then, so that's great.
Yeah, it looks like that's the first chance of getting 80. It's been a little bit of a cool stretch lately, but of course we needed that rain the other day for a few days because we had that very dry month of May, even back into late April. So really, overall, not bad. It's not perfect right now. Obviously, it's still mostly cloudy across Attleboro and vicinity, Providence, Fall River, but I think the sun will be shining by early this afternoon.
Okay, that sounds great. Listen, Jim, I know I have to cut you a little bit short because
the
conversation is just so interesting here, and I have two guests on, but as always, I sincerely appreciate you taking time out of your weekend to give us a call. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
no
thanks.
No problem. Thanks
for the good news, too, Jim.
All right, you're welcome.
See you, Jim.
Take care, Jim.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, bye. If you'd like to jump on the line here, our number here is 508-222-1320. We're getting back to George, and then I promise, Tony, at the next break, I'll talk to you about the Park Commission because it's very important to talk about the concerts in the park, and you've been really phenomenally patient, and I appreciate that. George, I have a question for you about what advice would you give an up-and-coming musician to be successful in the music business today?
I just think you got to do it just for the love of it. I wouldn't struggle too much with the profession. I think it's a very difficult one. It's still possible, but if the local world can come back, it would be possible to actually play. But there's very little activity out there in the world of music.
Mm-hmm.
I just say do it for the love of it. And if for some reason something happens where, you can enter it at a point where it's, can be useful, fine. But it's difficult.
It's very difficult today.
Yeah, all the arts, yeah. They're not supported. There's no support. There's nothing out there to
to make it.
Sorry for the
bad
news, guys.
No, that's great.
Just enjoy the music and.
Right. If you could look back on your career, would you do something different?
Well, I don't see it like that because I realize that each one of us comes into this world of the script, and this is what we do. Each one of us. Which is why it's so important to accept everybody because they're just going along with their script. They don't know how to do anything else.
Right.
I think, with a little bit of enlightenment, you can actually see it differently. But your script's going to be your script.
Right. We have a caller here that would like to talk to George. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. How is everybody doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to say thank you. This is an awesome show you're doing.
Oh.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have a question for George?
No, I'm just enjoying everything.
Oh, that's nice.
All right, guys. You're doing really good. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, thanks.
Bye. Oh, great.
I love that.
I do, too. That's such a positive thing, and we so need the encouragement for getting up so early in the morning and being appreciated. Yes. So one more thing, and then we have to take a quick break, and then I want to get to Tony. But when you're writing music, what inspires you? I know people have asked me that question. They know that you were coming on, but from a non-singer, a non-performer, people wonder, because we all have thoughts and feelings and things. Do you write... let me see, how do I rephrase this? Do you write because of the experiences that you have or something that comes to you or something moves you to write a particular piece of music? Or?
I have a lot of time. Whatever inspiration it is, it just seems to come. Doesn't come a lot, but I kind of know when I'm supposed to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And... I don't know. I've tried to figure out my music. I can't. I can't. I have no idea where I'm coming from.
Are you still creating music? Are you still writing songs?
As long as there's a reason to, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, we hope to hear some of that someday.
Okay.
All right, you'll have to come back and bring your guitar.
Of course.
I was thinking of that, actually.
I was thinking of it, too.
Yes, okay. So
but
then
we'll, if I brought my guitar, we'd never hear Tony.
Well, we're going to talk to Tony in a minute. No, we do. We have another minute and a half before my break, and then I promise we're going to talk to Tony. We will. But it's interesting to know, like, young musicians trying to get in the record business, as I see so many influences. It's all about the quick fix. It's not about the music. There was a professor online, because I did a lot of research on music theory, and not to bore our listeners, but there is a theory to it, you know, and so a professor at Berklee School of Music was saying that it used to be so much more authentic. You know, when you're playing a guitar, you are playing the guitar. You know, you're not relying on other instruments to make it sound like a guitar. You know, people can vary their voices, you know, to make them sound phenomenal. And he did this experiment with one girl who was off key and another one that had perfect pitch. And just by manipulating the, you know, the computer, you can make anybody sound as great as, you know, you want them to be.
Yeah, well, that's fine, but so what, you know? Everybody's so concerned about making money, you know, you just do it, that's all.
That's the thing. That's what he was saying, that it's all about the money. It's all about the corporations.
All about the money.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything, every word written, every note, the way they record everything, the particular sound of a bass drum, of a tom-tom, yeah, you know.
Yeah, but
in the old days, you know, you'd have a whole orchestra in a place. They'd use two microphones. I'll bet you on a four-piece band that's really heavily mic'd, probably 20, 30 mics.
Wow. Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it's insane out there.
That's phenomenal, George. I've got to hold you for a second because we do have to take a break, our last break, and when we come back, we'll have to talk. We will talk to Tony, I promise. And right now, you're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. We're taking our last break. We come back, we have George Leonard, and we have Tony Viveras in studio. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
Thanks for singing your sad song, but I'm afraid that you've been around here too long.
Attleboro Community Theater presents a play by Gene and Sam Broderick called Weekend Comedy at the Ezekiel Bates Masonic Lodge located on North Main Street in Attleboro. The premise for this play sets characters Frank and Peggy to book a weekend trip to a secluded cabin that has already been booked for the weekend by a younger couple that are complete opposites. This play is full of laughter that can be appreciated by all. Performances will run Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays from May 29th through June 4th. Evening show times are set for 8 o'clock, with Sunday afternoon performances scheduled for 2. For more information, call 508-226-8100, and your call will be returned as soon as possible.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
He knew exactly what to do.
I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket. Hit ignition.
And then nothing. Sometimes I laugh when I'm frustrated.
Then out of nowhere, the rocket launched into the air.
The rocket did get into the air.
I've never seen anything fly so high.
And then crashed into a kite.
Look out!
And then the pond.
I'll never forget that day,
even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And at the end of the day, the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. So United Way is asking you to make a pledge. Tutor a child who needs help. Mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge now at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Rediscover the City of Providence from June 11th through the 14th at the Providence International Arts Festival. art, culture, music, food, and live performances will come to life throughout downtown Providence, Kennedy Plaza, and Washington Street during this three-day event. For more information, go to info@first-works.org or contact Annette Robinson at 401-421-4278.
What is one of the deadliest cancers with low survival rates? The answer is esophageal cancer. And that is why it's so important to participate in the SALGI Esophageal Cancer Research Walk on Saturday, June 20th at 9 a.m. at Warwick City Park. Tickets are only $20 in advance, and you can register as an individual or as a team. My family is walking in memory of my nephew, Bob LaRoche, who succumbed to this disease last year. I hope you can join me and my family by calling the SALGI Foundation at 401-615-5869 and walk with us on June 20th. Together, we can make a difference. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. And in studio, I am so thrilled to have my dear friend, Tony Viveras. And Tony and George Leno of Georgie Porgy and the Crybabies. But Tony, I told you we'd give you fair equal time. And you have 10 minutes of my show. But anyway, welcome. You've been so patient, and I really appreciate it. Tell us a lot of exciting news that's happening with Capron Park.
Well, let me go from the connection of George to the music of Capron Park.
Perfect.
You asked George if kids should take music up and so forth and so on. And I definitely think they should, whether it be to make the center stage or not. I think it builds self-confidence in one's individual.
It teaches you something about yourself you probably would never have known.
That's right. My grandson who...
Like painting or any of the things, even cooking, anything, any of the arts.
And my grandson, he plays about five different types of guitars, from acoustic to electric. He plays the piano and he plays the drums, and they're all in our house. He just plays them for the fun of it. And for the most part, the same thing with our concerts at our summer concerts. The people that play there, we don't pay that much to these bands. For instance, there's probably a 20-piece band, Southeastern Community Band, and we only pay them for $500. And you think about it, they play for an hour and a half, and then there's at least a half hour setup, half hour breakdown, and then they all go to their homes. So it comes down to about $2.25 per night. But the reason they come back every year, because they love it. It's for the love of the music.
Right.
And we're glad that there are a lot of bands out there that we try to incorporate a variety of bands for a variety of generations. And to get back to the finances of a summer concert, we're doing better than what we have. The Stone family is now contributing $2,500 every year.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to raise roughly about another $2,000. We have eight concerts that we do every year. So we're all set for this year, and I need to raise another $2,000 for next year. Hopefully we're going to have some good news where somebody's going to make a long-term commitment.
Great.
And we're working on that, and we'll have more of that when it finally comes through.
Great.
But
who's
summer
kicking it
concerts,
off, my friend?
Pardon
who's
me?
Kicking it off, and when does it start?
I don't have the schedule in front of me. Mike is holding up June 6th, but I don't think it starts then. No.
No, he's just giving me a cue of how many more minutes I have, and then I have a two-minute wrap-up.
The Thursday
yes.
after July 4th, and I believe the 4th, I think it's July 8th or 9th, that Thursday on every Thursday through the end of August,
mm-hmm.
We'll have, as I said, we have a nice variety of concerts. And sooner or later, the only type of music that we don't have is, and I get a lot of requests, is a country and western.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people out here in the New England area that love country and western. Matter of fact, when, what's the name of the stadium? Patriot Stadium or whatever the stadium is called. Gillette Stadium, thank you. They put on a country and western thing, and the place is packed. So there is a lot of call for country and western. It doesn't mean that you have to be from a certain part of the country.
Right.
You know, yeah. So, and, you know, for the most part, we've had good weather. It's such a beautiful night to spend under the shades of the trees and in the park. And when the concert starts off, the park and the neighborhood, you can hear the sounds coming out of the band. And also, too, we have an extra concert, which has been donated by somebody who doesn't want to reveal his name for the 5 years. I think this is the third year of it. And it's in tribute to Ray Conniff. And we have that on a Sunday, and I believe, I don't have a calendar, but I think it's the third Sunday in July, but maybe later on if I come on one of your shows.
Yes, yeah, come back.
I'll give the exact date. And I forgot the name of the group to myself, and I apologize. And that's on from 2 to 4 Sunday afternoon in the Ray Conniff Memorial Bandstand.
Wow, nice.
The summer concerts are held in the, I forgot the name of the...
Newell
Shelter. Thank you very much, Elaine.
You're welcome.
Oh, man. I don't believe I forgot that. So from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. So anyways. And it was a thrill to see George here.
Same here, Tony.
I haven't seen George since... I never met George in high school. But, of course, being in high school with George, I certainly remember the fiasco that went on in George's life. But I invited George back, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, to our social gathering. I'm part of the Attleboro High School Alumni Association, and I chair the social gathering. And George, 2 or 3 years ago, was our featured guest one night. And, you know, George had a wonderful time. The people that came and met George or hadn't seen George in, was it 50 years, George? Love to see him. He had a front page picture in the paper the next day of some woman greeting George, and we had such a great time. And by the way, George, I have to tell you, you're invited every year to our Alumni Association.
I know. I noticed it, and I wasn't able to make it this year.
Yeah,
it was just a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
A couple of weeks ago.
No, I had gotten it, and I was actually you know, considering going because I enjoyed that.
And this year, if I have a minute or so, we have a gentleman who's a nationally known photographer. His studios are in New York City, and the Sun Chronicle every 4th of July print his pictures. Oh, we have a phone call?
Oh, hung up. No,
okay.
Go ahead.
Every 4th of July in the Sun Chronicle, they'll print some of his photographs. He goes through extensively through the United States and prints up these photos. Well, he's a graduate of 1968 of Attleboro High School.
No kidding.
Mike Dorenzo. And I hung around with Mike for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll be our featured guest next year at our social gathering. And he's also going to have his work on display at the museum as well. We're proud to have Mike and all our featured guests, such as George, to come along and make our alumni gathering a success. So
that sounds great. I know I only have like about 30 seconds for you.
Sure.
But I wanted to find out, what are some of the other things that are happening in the Capron Park area? Like, I know you have some fundraising events. The Food Truck Fest is coming, right?
Yeah, the Food Truck Fest won't be this year because we need to make some improvements.
Okay.
Throughout the zoo to accommodate the food trucks.
Okay.
As you know, last year,
yes,
it was a success and it was a failure.
Oh, my gosh.
Because there were too many people.
Right.
And we want to make sure that everybody gets served.
Okay.
So next year.
Okay, but Capron Park is open for everybody, and families are welcome to come. We have a fabulous zoo. I mean, the playground is great, and the zoo, I can't say enough about it. And they have the splash pad that's going to be starting up soon.
Well, it's already started up.
Has it?
Yeah, on
goodness.
It's already started up.
And with 80-degree weather, bring
right.
the kids
and
down,
and it's great
right?
to hear those noises from kids screaming and yelling. It's such a nice summer sound.
There might be some parents and grandparents screaming as they get wet by their kids. But it's always a great time. It
well,
really
thanks
is.
For having me on.
You're very welcome.
And it was great to see George again.
It is, and I want
to... Pleasure is mine.
Thank
yes,
you,
and
Elaine.
I wanted,
this is a pleasure.
Yes, George and Tony, I want to thank you both for getting up so early. I do appreciate you both. And I'd like to thank Mike, my engineer who runs my board, and Jim Corbin for getting up so early, too. I really appreciate it. Dominic will be back on Monday, starting from 6 a.m. to 10, followed by Paul Healy from 10 a.m. to noontime. I'll be back next Saturday at 7 a.m. And from all of us at WARI 1320, thanks for listening, and meet me back here next Saturday for Out and About with Elaine. No matter what you do this week, make it a great week and get out there and have some fun. Jim Corbin, thank you again. I really appreciate you. I said that before, but really, you are amazing. And I have a really great team here on Saturdays. Our new time is at 7 a.m. I know it's a little bit early, but set your clock. That's what Tony said. Set your alarm for 7 a.m. every Saturday and listen to our show for Out and About. Next week, we'll have more information about what's happening in the area, from Rhode Island to Massachusetts, Connecticut, and everywhere in between. And you know me, the jazz lady, so if there's jazz in the area, be sure to stay tuned. Thanks again.